Hi, hier ist Mona von Energy am Morgen und an diesem Song ist keiner von euch dieses Jahr vorbeigekommen. Teddy Swims, Lose Control, viral gegangen, überall auf Social Media. Großer, großer Newcomer-Star aus den USA und ich durfte ihn treffen in Berlin. Ganz, ganz kurz vor seiner Show Backstage. Und ich muss euch sagen, ich wurde selten so entspannt und so herzlich empfangen wie von Teddy Swims. Wir haben natürlich über Lose Control gesprochen, darüber, was dieser ganze Erfolg jetzt mit ihm macht. Und vor allem darüber, ob der Song Lose Control jetzt die Messlatte für die weiteren Releases so ein bisschen nach oben gesetzt hat. Und es ging darüber, warum sein Erfolg gerade genau zum richtigen Zeitpunkt kommt. Schönes Gespräch, ich freue mich, wenn er dabei bleibt.
Der Energy Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
So, Teddy Swims, so nice to see you. I'm so excited for your show because I've seen all your covers and your live shows and I'm so excited to experience. I don't know if I'm ready yet because I think this is gonna be overwhelming and I'm super, super happy to see you. How are you? Congratulations on everything, by the way. How are you?
I'm terrific. I'm excited to be here. It's gonna be a beautiful show.
How is tour life going? Is it annoying? Is it exciting? Is it all of the above?
I don't say annoying. I think it's very exciting. There are times where it's a little, you know, some days you don't feel like it. But once you get out there, though, and get all that energy, it's to me, I think the fun part and the bad part of it, though, is the turning it on. You know, some days you don't quite feel like on, but then you get out there and then you're just alive, filled with so much dopamine, you know, and then you get off and it's like hard to go to sleep after that, you know. And so sometimes it takes me forever to sleep, but I love it. I love it. I'm having a blast and I'm doing the best job with my best pal. So it's fucking awesome.
Perfect. Lucky you're in a city that never sleeps tonight. It's Berlin. Do you get to experience the cities a little at least?
Not much. It's kind of tough when we're here for like a day. We only get to see like the left and the right of the venue, you know, I got to see a good bit of Hamburg because we had a couple of days off there. And so, but I've not really gotten to see Berlin at all. So.
Not even a tattoo in Berlin. You know that Berlin is famous for its like tattoo artists.
I know. I got something done in Hamburg though, actually. So that was nice. I got these sides and this ear done. Like,
no
I got
way.
It done a couple of days ago. Yeah. So.
But you're not supposed to sweat. Is it okay if you sweat now and be on stage?
Yeah, it's okay. It happens. You know, you can get. I mean, it's not. You know, you don't want to get too wet, but it happens. You got to take showers and bathe and stuff. You know. So, what are you gonna do? Not bathe?
Not possible. Okay, it's good. So how does it feel to perform these, like, I mean, they're very, very personal songs that you write and that you sing. How does it feel to perform them in front of an audience like that?
I think it feels really good. I love to see that it also is something that people sing along. And to me, for something that means so much to me, it makes me feel not only like I'm not alone, you know, but it makes... I love to hear that it also is helping other people as well. And so it makes the situations I went through feel like it was worth going through, you know.
Mm-hmm. Have you got the feeling that maybe your relationship with some of these songs change playing them live and seeing the audience reaction?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's something always that no matter what the song is, I kind of always go back to the same place from where it was written from or where I was at. But I do feel like it's now such a positive experience. Even the most negative, heartbreaking songs, I'm so lucky to have an outlet to take something like that and turn it into such a positive experience and to get some sort of success out of it and to help people and help myself through my own story. And so I think the experience of it now is it's more of a celebration of the pain I went through instead of just being in pain, you know? Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't like come up every time that you sing the song, trigger something within you?
Yeah, of course. But I think it's from a learned place, though, from a place of experience with it. So it doesn't like kind of bog me down. It just is something to speak honestly from, you know?
Mm-hmm. And maybe you can also see that how much you've grown, right?
Yeah, exactly.
When it doesn't hurt that much anymore. It's
yeah.
I made it.
Yeah, made it on the other side.
Yeah, awesome. You said in an interview that the only place that you really feel like, or the stage, maybe not the only place, but stage feels like home. It's where you don't have anxiety, whereas other artists do have a lot of stage fright. What does stage make you feel at home?
I'm so fortunate because I get to just be open and it's a safe place for me. You know, I get to laugh, I get to cry, I get a joke, I get to be hammered if I want. I can, and I'm up there with my friends that I've hung out with my whole life. So it's super wonderful to just, it feels like, you know, like it's always been. And it's great to just invite people into that safe place and to also create a safe place for them. And they're also doing me the favor of creating a safe place for me to be open and vulnerable. And so it's truly, I think it's the greatest place in the world, you know.
Awesome. How special is, I think I've never seen a show live before, but I mean, Lose Control will always be the special moment, I think, in a live show. How iconic is it that, I think I heard you saying that when you wrote the song that you felt it, like in your bones, okay, this is going to change my life. Is this everything now, what you like envisioned when you wrote that song?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very justifying, you know, and it's so cool to see people singing it every night. And it, for it to be such a, like, kind of, the message of it is quite sad and heartfelt, but for it to be such a fun, upbeat moment in a set where everyone is kind of partying and celebrating, it's really great to take, again, to take something that was so negative and turn it into something so celebratory and happy for everyone.
Make pain into art.
Yeah.
A true artist, you are. Does a song like Lose Control with like hundreds, millions of streams, you know, going viral everywhere, does it like set the bars higher? And do you now feel like, because it's not humanly possible to achieve this every time, maybe except your Taylor Swift. And we don't know if she's human, to be honest. Does it like set the bars higher for like every release now has to be?
Yeah, I do. But I also try to make sure that no matter what I do and what I'm writing, is from an authentic place, and it's something that I enjoy doing and something that I love doing. And I think that's how we got here with the first place of Lose Control. I was never writing it because I wanted to write a hit. You know, it came from a serious place and a place that I needed to speak from my heart. And it just so happened that it ended up being a great song. So I think as long as I just keep my mind set on just doing the thing that makes me feel good, the thing that I need to say from the heart, I think it'll happen again, you know. But I don't think I can make my intention to do that again. And so I think just do it more and more and more. I think the more shots you make, one of them is bound to land, you know. So I don't think it can happen every time, no. But I think once you have one, though, it is definitely, I know now what it feels like to have one. And I know when we wrote it, what it felt like when I did have one. So I think there's a whole new kind of learned perspective on it. So I think I'm better at A&Ring a situation to know that this could be one of those. And I mean, I'm with that kind of newfound knowledge, I think there's more opportunity. And also with more of a platform now, I think there's more opportunity and more shots for the perfect storm to happen again. And so I just hope that it does.
It will. I'm so sure about that. It will. Have you ever felt it again? Maybe like with music that's not released yet?
Yeah, sure.
Did we come
Yeah, on? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think we got a couple. I really do. I think we have something coming out on this record that is, I think everything that I'm thinking about on the next record is truly, even the four I just put out, I feel really, really strong about. And so we're waiting to see how those take off. And I think they all give me that same feeling, though.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. That sounds great. But you can still, like, enjoy every other success that you have with all these? Or is it just, I can only, like, is the gap too big?
It's a little both. You know, I try to make sure I take time to enjoy those little successes and things that aren't so massive. But there's also a diminished returns with that, too. You know, like, you want everything bigger, 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 bigger all the time. And I think I'm just, like, just adrenaline and dopamine junkie, you know. I just want to like get it all. I want it all. Yeah. So I'm grateful for everything I have, but I mean, I definitely have like world domination on my mind, you know.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But I think yeah, it's just normal human conditions. I don't know. So, you said that you just wrote it like with the pure intention of art, and I think you can. It really comes across in your music, in your lyrics. How does that feel? That like, especially with the record, like with your album, that like this pure intention of I'm just creating art that's just me, and I don't mind like what happens, that now this is the most successful that you've ever been, like this pure, isn't it really? I think it feels just pure. I don't know what it does with you.
And it's also just was something I needed to get out, and I'm very grateful for Ammo, you know, Mickey Echo, Julian Brunetta, who wrote and produced this record with me. They're also so wonderful. I was going through such a hard time in my life, and we really wrote most of the album at a camp that we were at, and like 4 or 5 day writing camp, and a lot of it happened all, you know, a lot very, very close together. And I mean, that day I was really in a rough spot, and I cried that day, and really went through a lot. And my pal Jesse was there with me too, and kind of talked me off a ledge that day. And I'm truly grateful that we're able to, you know, I'm able to have such good friends that can help me put my feelings into words and help me do that. And I could, you know, again, be safe and vulnerable in a place to talk about my feelings. I think it's truly incredible to have that outlet is such a thing I'll never take lightly or take for granted. And I can't be more grateful, really.
If you think back maybe to the moment when you guys wrote the Lose Control song, and then you're now looking back now, what does that do to you? Like, is it something that you can keep up with? Is it something that you can appreciate, like the process?
Yeah, and also, weirdly enough, the same day we also wrote The Door, which is another big mm-hmm. song on that record. And I think that day, I think we just kind of captured lightning in a bottle. You know, there was just something about the feeling and the situation. I think we just all were on the same page. And it was like the muse just walked into that place right there in Palm Springs and just gave us what we needed. And I can always think back to that. And mm-hmm. I feel like such a celebratory day. I feel like we knew we really had something. And I just long for the high of something like that all the time, you know.
I'm a big believer in timing, and I think this is just, it was the perfect timing. The Door's my second favorite on the album. And it just sounds magical. I think they truly stick out. So also with the timing of your career, everything happening now, do you believe in timing and that this was the perfect timing for you?
I think timing is truly everything. And it's, when you say it too, it's like everything's got to be right. It's got to be like the right... It's got to be like the right content, the right people sharing the content at the right time, and the right people seeing, and the right people coming together to write it at the right time. Every timing is such a thing of such the essence, right? And but also for me too, with my career being the way it is, I think timing's so impeccable because I'm being at 31 now. I truly feel like I'm ready for this, and at another time in my life prior. If that would have happened to me at any other time, like 28, 29 years old, I would have probably spun out and just been an idiot about it. You know what I mean? And I would probably got lost in lifestyle or kind of cracked under pressure. And so I like to think, like, you know, sometimes people might think 31 is a little late to be getting somewhere, but then some people get it at like 19 or 20. They might spin out or they might can handle it. But I could tell you from like where I'm at right now as an adult male, I'm grateful that it's happening now, because if it had happened any earlier, I would have been an absolute piece of shit about it. You know, I'd have just been putting it up my nose or sending it straight to my liver, you know? And so I'm just grateful to be like on my good path and strong with what I want to say and how I want to be as a human.
Yeah, amazing. But so nice that you can see it like that, because I mean when we were like even with me, I was like, I'm ready now, and I so wasn't. But you
yeah, I agree. Yeah, I was like, I want it now, all of it, all of it right now. And so even now, I still want more now, all the time, you know. But I am just trying to learn to trust the process and trust that whatever that is going to come in its own timing. And I know when I get it, I'm going to be like, yeah, okay, that made sense. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, totally. I mean, as soon as you like really want to grab it, it's like slipping through your fingers anyway. So, but this is a hard learning process that I also had to go through. So I feel you, man. So I've tried everything but therapy is the title of the album. Is it still true?
I've had like a, you know, I have somebody I talk to regularly that's truly kind of my mentor and my and a second father, and this guy DDP, we have weekly talks, and you know, it's I guess he's not like a therapist, like by like, you know, but he is my therapist, you know what I mean? But he's not like whatever doctorate in that or whatever you need for that. And so I'm super grateful to have that, though. He's done a lot for me as far as my mental health and talking to somebody that's truly just like not really involved in my situation, somebody that's just has no personal bias or no thing. And so as far as and is also someone that has gone through the rocket ship too. And so it's very grateful to like, he's kind of helping me, guiding me through the, you know, how hard this can be just to be on this crazy rocket ship and get really help me through it and help me like how fast my life's changing. And so, I guess I wouldn't have to say I've gone to the traditional therapy, but,
it can be anything.
But yeah. Yeah, but I believe that I believe with this career and with him, I'm getting the thing I need from it. And but you know, I still want to go home and try the traditional like means of like having a, I guess, you know, somebody, yeah, the whole thing that you think it is like, I want to try that eventually, but it's hard when we're on the road to do, and I don't want to do like a real one on a Zoom or something. I want to like really see what it's like firsthand, you know.
But how awesome is it that we can just sit here and talk about it like it's normal, because it is normal.
Yeah.
And that's, I think it's so cool how far we've come as a society, that it's just normal and accepted. That's so cool. I went to therapy myself. I think it's very beneficial for a personal life. How do you see it as an artist side of perspective? Because sometimes you need, of course, that pain to create this art.
Yeah, I think, but what I'm really trying to learn with the needing of pain to create art is that I don't have to put myself in positions all the time to get hurt in order to create art that's good or painful. I think I've gone through experiences and I can tap back into those feelings and write from those perspectives without having to be in a turmoil position all the time, you know? And I'm really trying my best not to be an absolute like masochist when it comes to that, like where I'm just tearing myself down to try to get the best thing. And I think a lot of times artists can do that to themselves or create patterns and follow the same situation that they know is going to hurt them in order to get the same outcomes that would help and benefit whatever their art is. And I'm just now in my life learning to not do that, you know? So I think I can speak from pain without having to be in it right this second, you know?
How did you learn it?
A lot of good talks and a lot of good mentor and having people and also just through experience, you know, now that being happy in my life and watching how much happier I am when I'm just able to talk about my feelings and having people validate them and having someone good in my life that really treats me well and wants me to succeed and really supports me. It's different than the patterns that I had in my life where I was just constantly, I was just comfortable with the same negativity all the time. And so it made the unknown of happiness like seem so far fetched. And now that it's here, it's like, I feel like I want to protect that at all costs. Yeah, it's really been such a wonderful thing, and I want to protect my happiness and achieve it at all costs, you know?
You deserve it.
Yeah, everyone does.
Last question, maybe. Teddy Swims, you chose the name from your old hip-hop days, like Swims, right?
Yeah.
And I heard you saying that you thought it wasn't cool enough. Is Teddy Swims cool?
Yeah,
now?
I mean, I'm cool, you know,
yeah.
but the name, nobody really likes their name, I guess. I don't know, probably maybe they do, but it's cool. I've always been called Teddy, and it's all right. It doesn't bother me, I guess, but it's doing fine. So people seem to like it. I think I'm pretty fucking cool, but the name is, it's all right. It's too late now to change, so.
Love it. And you said it's an acronym, so that you don't always have to be yourself. But how is Chaden like in the process?
Same. I don't ever look at Teddy Swims as like its character.
Okay.
They're the same guy, you know. I don't ever put on some persona of someone else when I'm doing anything. I just think it's Swims is kind of like a thing that I can just always constantly be evolving and changing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as humans, we're ever changing and ever evolving. And I just want to keep that open door that as things happen in my life, I like to be as honest and vulnerable as I can. And so I'll never have this kind of mask or charade or something. You can see, I'm an animated creature, you know, so you could see whatever I'm going through all over me. If I'm not feeling it, like, there's no faking the funk, you know. It's like, I just look like fucking sad, you know what I mean? So,
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Was für ein zauberhafter, sympathischer, tiefgründiger Künstler. Das war das Gespräch mit mir und Teddy Swims. Es freut mich, wenn es euch gefallen hat. Geht gerne mal auf Spotify, auf seinen Instagram-Kanal und checkt seine Musik aus. Ich kann nur sagen, ich durfte ja nachher noch auf dem Konzert bleiben und es ist fantastisch. Der klingt noch besser live, als er überhaupt schon auf Platte klingt. Und das ist einfach fantastisch. Eine wahnsinnig tolle Stimme, toller Künstler. Ich hoffe, der bleibt uns noch ganz lang erhalten.
Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Originalen. Podcast. Noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de.